Blog Talk Radio.
Like a marksman, so cold as ice, fine nigga, where your heart went. I'm bigger than this apartment, I'm bigger than this building. I'm trying to make a million, one better for my children, one better for my moms, a lot more for my grams. I'm an uncrowned king, still try to be a man. Y'all wouldn't understand how I'm living off the land, or the supply and demand, trying to get all I can. I'm a rebel to America, fell in love with Erica. Fuck what you heard, nigga, listen what I'm telling ya. Every day a kid gets murdered in the hood, but now when the birds are getting murdered over hoods. We don't rep Rack City, we rack in every city. If you rack, nigga, hit me, come out and rack with me. I'm trying to catch 50 in a 400 mil. Tell Lighty I'm back, and I'm looking for a deal. For life is for real. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system. Won't be a victim, I'ma hit him up. Bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system. Won't be a victim, I'ma hit him up. I'm into it, every step I take is so intimate. Walking like a man, I ain't living a pimp and shit. How much would I give for this? And I'm looking for the bullets that fit into the clip for this. Watch who you do business with, cause ain't nobody a man or your fan when that fan hits shit. We tryna blow like handkerchiefs, tryna blow like the girl on your mirror, your man to sniff. There's a global demand for this. Spanish kid, revolutionary but gangster shit. You can rid the game of this kid if you study the manuscript of who the young lords of Black Panther was. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut. I'm an outlaw, rebel to America, banging on the system, won't be a victim. I'ma hit him up, bang him in the neck, in the gut, and I won't stop banging to the coffin shut.
Homem tudo, lona tudo, tudo nini, tudo larubá, tudo ifalolá, tudo aibungu, tudo echu, tudo alawei, cocô e favi. E baien, 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 tunu, que tem beleza ni olo do mare. Bobo awo, i alocha, alocha, oloricha, bobo bura moalanya, bobo apedevi, bobo moqueque, bobo aleio que coaile.
I'm about to spit some real shit. Been holding up my tongue for a little bit. G shit. Better get RBG shit. Y'all be acting like you never did C shit. Stop holding. Motherfucker, I ain't rolling. This royal African rolling. I shine like never before. And I grind like I'm on my 4, 5, 6. I'm watching my money growing. I'm here to let niggas know I'm number one with the bullet. I'ma pull it. I ain't scared. We can take it to the head. Life is Russian roulette. Nigga, let's make the bed. I'm about to jab. Number one with a bullet, I'ma pull it. I ain't scared, we can take it to the head. Like it's Russian roulette. Nigga, let's make a bet. I'm about to jab.
I'm number one with a bullet, that's a 4 pound. That's a large caliber hole inside of your crown. Yeah, shooting at these fake ass kings. Take a shit on the throne. We the resistance, you get overthrown. And the woman coming with me, fuckers you playing with. You outside of your league, that money won't help you, kid. You can have stacks bigger than Shaq. Oh, I'm really scared of you now, you serious, huh? Yeah, that shit sound good on the beat, but you ain't good on the streets. You insulated, I'm exposed to the heat. You need a buffer to talk to me. Spooky nigga, you got everything to lose. I got nothing but killers.
If you ain't know my time is money, I'm about my business, you can take a second from me. Dollar, pound, euro, yen, dead presidents. Bitcoin, get going long as it makes sense. Stack paper, big plans, making my moves major. I put in work and I'm calling in all my favors. I bust a cap if you're thinking about getting vapors. It's for my people, I do this so we can say I'm number one with the bullet, I'ma pull it. I ain't scared, we can take it to the head. Life is Russian roulette, nigga, let's make the bet. I'm about to jab. Number one with a bullet, I'ma pull it. I ain't scared, we can take it to the head. Life is Russian roulette, nigga, let's make the
bad. I'm about to jab.
I'm number one. Yeah, straight out the South Bronx, reppin' that brown blood thoroughly. For years, the police been trying to bury me. Currently, police murder people over currency. Big biz, popping this interest in politics for the young folk who don't know why they even need a gun, folks. Free Moon, me a free Russell show. They killed another little kid about a week
I'm
ago.
I'm number one with a bullet, I'm a bullet. I ain't scared, we can take it to the head. Life is Russian roulette, nigga, let's make the bed. I'm about to jab. Cruising down the street, my mind on goals. Fuck the police, I ain't studying them hoes. I see the guards on the block, coke kicking some truth. So I went to do the math as I did as a youth. They say knowledge before wisdom, then comes some understanding. That's when my mind starts thinking and planning. We could build an empire like Congo and Mali. And it wouldn't take much, just your mind and your body.
Peace. Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to the Truth Hour. Broadcasting live every second Friday, live here on Do the Knowledge Radio by the host and founder of Brother Truth, 100% Real Spill CEO, Warrior and the Cause of Liberation and Salvation of our people. That phone number to call in, family, 515-605-9360. Again, 515-605-9360. Press 1 with your questions or your comments. It comes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some and present to others the host and founder of the Truth Hour, my comrade, the Brother Truth, is in the building.
What up, though? What's going on, family? What up, everybody listening in? What up, Knowledge, man? What's going on with you, bro?
Peace,
it's an honor to be here. And I'm good, bro. I cannot complain at all, man. Everything is peace. It's an honor to be here, man. It's, you know, I'm in a great mood today, you know. Today I'm celebrating 6 years straight out of the belly of the beast. You know what I mean? So, you know, I like to celebrate that every year, man, every day, actually, you know. So I just shout out to that, man. Shout out to all the soldiers out there who've been out of prison, man, came home and did their thing, got back, you know what I'm saying, got back to helping their people and doing what's righteous out here and showing that it's brothers out here that can change their life and, you know, move forward and do something positive for the people, you know. I salute all the soldiers out there, man, that do that, man, you know what I mean? Shout out to the ones that's still locked in the belly of the beast, man. Kwame, man, you know what I'm saying? They say that they letting out all these rats, man. Free Kwame, you feel? Well, today, the topic for today is about Flint, people. We seem to forget and we seem to act, you know, brush to the side and, you know, clue myself sometimes, you know, this actual genocide, this actual crime of war, act of war on our people, you know, in that city of Flint, because that's what it is. We got to call it what it is. We got to, you know, take accountability and responsibility to make sure that, you know, we draw the line in the sand and understand what side we on and understand what's happening to our people up there, you know, because it is an atrocity, to say the least, a tragedy, you know, at the worst, you know what I mean? It's a tragedy, you know, it's beyond a tragedy because it's still ongoing, and the more it goes on, the longer the effect the lead is going to have on the babies, it's going to have on the children right now, and not only right now, but with 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, that lead is still going to be affecting their body. You know, people don't understand the seriousness of it, you know. like I said earlier, you know, just moments ago, Free Kwame, but they gave that man 28 years, you know, for stealing some money. It's people that have died. It's babies that can't talk no more, can't walk anymore. It's people that are developing diseases that they would not develop if it wasn't for the lead in the water. You know, then on top of that, it was a period of time last summer, I think earlier this year, that they weren't picking up the trash. So now not only do you have contaminated water, but you've got trash, garbage, heaping up. You cleaning it with contaminated water, cleaning up with contaminated water. So now you're creating an even more disease-filled atmosphere, scenery every day. These people have to live with this every day. They cannot take a shower. They have to use bottled water. People who can afford that use bottled water every day to bathe. You know what I'm saying? To feed their children, to cook with. You know, imagine how many cases of water you need to do that. You know, people talking about, oh, I'm tired of sending water, how much water we... No, you can't never be tired of sending water. You can't never be tired about hearing about Flint until the pipes get changed. You can't be tired of hearing about Flint until them babies get some retribution, until them babies get some help, until them babies get some medicine, and the herbs and the food that they need to counteract the poison that the lead and the things that the lead is doing to their blood. You know what I'm saying? Because it is ways to counteract it, but as you digesting it more and more and more, putting it in your skin through your pores, taking a shower, how are you gonna shower? You know what I'm saying? Some people don't have a choice. Some people can't afford all this bottled water. They don't have no more water. They're not giving no more water away free in Flint. They got to pay water bills for contaminated water, being forced to pay water bills. They're not willingly paying water bills. They are being coerced and forced to pay water bills because they are being threatened with liens being put on their homes and losing their homes or being evicted if they are renting or in low-income public housing. Most of our people live in low-income public housing or are renting and are not homeowners. You see what I'm saying? This is not by accident. This is a strategic plan against our people. And we need to recognize and we need to wake up and we need to start acting like it. You know what I'm saying? And we need to move accordingly. We need to organize and move accordingly. You know what I'm saying? All our eyes should be on Flint. They should have never left Flint. Just because the celebrity's not caring about Flint no more, don't nobody care about Flint. Let Jay-Z say something about Flint, then everybody gonna want to care about Flint. But then when it comes to your front door and your zip code and your neighborhood got a water advisory, they'll throw that in there every now and then just to see how the people gonna act. You know what I'm saying? Don't think these things are by mistake. These are not by accident. These things are on purpose. There are cities that have worse lead problems than Flint across the country. There's plenty of places, but you're not hearing about it. You know what I'm saying? It's the one that just happened to make national news because some officials got caught up in line and telling the people, you know what I'm saying, a whole year before they brought it to the public that the water was contaminated. The only place that wasn't using contaminated water was the GM plant. This is not fact. I mean, this is not something I made up. This is fact. You can go look it up. You can go see the article where they admitted and said this. They also told the state police a year to 18 months prior to the it becoming public to stop using water and start getting bottled water. They was getting bottled water a year up to 8 months to a year before the public was made aware of it before they had the first death. And it takes 2 years to die from Legion's disease. The first death noted in 2014. So how many years before that was the water contaminated? You know what I'm saying? So we as a people, man, we need to recognize, you know, kind of understand the seriousness and the purpose of this act. This is not done by accident. They switched the water. They forced, they tricked the people up there in Flint to vote for something that they didn't know that they was voting for, because everybody in Flint know that the Flint River was contaminated. They've known that since the 70s. That's when they stopped using that water a long, long, long time ago. You see what I'm saying? They then switched to other water sources before they even switched to Detroit. You know what I'm saying? So these things are purposeful acts. You know what I'm saying? All these acts across the country, everything you see that's being done to your people are on purpose. These things are not done by accident, my people. You know, and I think we as a people need to start acting accordingly. You know what I'm saying? We need to, I don't care what you are, what you do, whatever it is, you know, what ideology you come under, you know what I'm saying, what nationality you claim, none of that. I don't care about that. But you need to be getting with the people that's around you, unifying, making sure that y'all become a village and start to look out for each other seriously, start to be communal as a people, start to act as one as a people, you know what I'm saying? Because if we don't, we're gonna get railroaded every time. It's gonna be worse and worse. Then next thing you know, we're gonna be back in chains and whips, and y'all gonna be wondering how did we get to this point, because we never bucked back. We never gave a real resistance, a unified resistance. You know what I'm saying? You have to come together, you know what I'm saying? And we have to understand, you know, what's going on with our people. You know what I mean? The seriousness of that, the seriousness of what's going on up in Flint. You know what I'm saying? This is not nothing to play with. This is not no willy-dilly type of thing. It's 2017, 3 years later since they made it public. The pipes have still not been changed. They do not care about those babies. One baby is not worth $150 million, $200 million, $500 million, whatever $100 million, billion it takes to fix those pipes. Not one baby life is worth that. You know what I'm saying? And we have to start letting it be known that treating it like that as a people, not just one person, not just a group of people protesting, not just that. We need to let them know as a people we're not going to stand for y'all killing our babies, if nothing else. You know what I'm saying? And we don't care about our adult brothers and sisters. At least care about the babies. You know what I'm saying? That's what's affecting the worst. It's wiping out a whole generation of people in the city. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be generational. 5, 10, all the babies they have and all that, they're going to be contaminated with the lead. If they even can have babies. Because of the poisoning. You never know. You know what I mean? This is just, it's just sickening to me how we just forget about what's going on up there, and we act like it's just, oh, it ain't my problem. But then when it hit our front door, we want help and we want sympathy and we want empathy from our people, but we don't show it to our brothers and sisters out here who are being victimized every day. We don't stand united. We all over the place. Everybody want to do everything. Come together and do something together with a few people. Don't got to be a whole 150 people. It could be 5 people, 3 people, 10 people, 15 people. Just come together with somebody and work towards helping each other achieve whatever it is that you are trying to achieve in life and to take your freedom back. That's the only way that we are going to get free, if we take our freedom and if we stop letting the atrocities happen to our people and don't nobody bat an eye, don't nobody do nothing. We'll send some water and then act like that's okay. But these pipes still haven't been changed. People still paying water bills. What's going on? What are we going to do? When are we going to stand up? When? When is it going to come, the day that we say, man, it's just enough is enough? When is enough going to be enough? They can poison the whole city and don't nothing happen. We got any callers, bro?
Nah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. It's crazy, bro. You know, I don't understand. I really don't. What's your thoughts on it, bro?
I mean, that is like an extreme case of gentrification. You know what I mean? We read about the riots, we read about redlining, we read about black codes. You see what I'm saying? We know Reaganomics. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, we read about it as if we, you know, we don't experience it, like we detach from it. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, we say, you know, we hear brothers and sisters say that we're living in the past. We're not even 200 years removed from physical bondage. You see what I'm saying? And these things have lasting effects. And the power of the manipulation of the mind to lead the mind towards behavior that will have you in a state of hopelessness. You see what I'm saying? Hopelessness, crisis. You see what I'm saying? This city has been victimized. You know what I mean? And robbed of the innocence that exists in this particular region. So, you know, you get an attack from the sky. Chemtrails being sprayed. You see what I'm saying? You can't even drink water. How necessary is water to exist, for you to live? You know, you could go a couple of days without food, but try going a couple of days without water. You see what I'm saying? And then this, you know, necessity. Like, you know, our families, you know, we got an attachment to this landmass, but look at what you got to go through to live in America every day. Look what you got to go through to live every day. You see what I'm saying? Look what you got to experience. You know, I know we could point to other parts of the world and say, hey, you know, these people, you know, living like this, 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 and this, but they not robbed of who they are. You see what I'm saying? They're not on top of all of this, we robbed of who we are. So we could get to a point where we could see a crisis happening in front of our face and our minds be so far removed from it that, you know, dealing in the space of individuality. But if we somewhere, gee, like, just take for instance, if we all in the family, you see what I'm saying, and the family struggling, the family knows that the family got a responsibility to get, you know, us out of the condition that we in. You see what I'm saying? So if we tight, and if we don't allow the struggle to come in between the family to where we at war with one another in the house because we struggling, collectively we're going to get out of that condition. Collectively, we're going to put our minds together. Collectively, we know that every action is tied towards the betterment of our family and moving our family out of the condition that we're in. You see what I'm saying? But if we all individually, like, you know, so if you find some food, you're going to keep it to yourself. You see what I'm saying? Like, I ain't worth them cap as long as I'm eating, I'm good. You see what I'm saying? As long as I'm eating, I'm good. So this mentality, we can see our brothers and sisters ailing. We can see, you know, this atrocity happening, this collective genocide that's happening. You see what I'm saying? And then try to compare suffrage. Try to compare suffrage and say, hey, yo, we got it bad. We got it worse than often. You see what I'm saying? So we get with all of this mentality, but we just looking at each other in the space of the family like, yo, if my family not eating, I'm not good. And that's the lineage that we come from. That's the bloodline that we descend from. And why history is so important, because we got a reminder, because we're not looking at each other in the same way that we looked at each other yesterday. You see what I'm saying? We're not looking at each other in a way that we looked at them the day before yesterday. It changes from day to day. And if we're looking at tomorrow, all we're going to see is indifference. We're going to see a difference between yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And there's no connection. You see what I'm saying? There's no connection. You know, you spoke about, you know, being desensitized to it, to where you see so much atrocity, to where you see so much trauma, to where you see so much pain, to where you see so much death, you're numb to it. You see what I'm saying? It's another body. You're not even connected to the body no more. You see what I'm saying? You're not even connected to the body. You're not connected to the spirit. You're not connected to the Ka and the Ba, the spirit and the soul. We all interconnected. We share one universal spirit and soul. But if we detach from it, if we're blocked from it, this is the true crisis that happens. The physical is just a manifestation of that which exists within you. So I'm ailing for Flint. You see what I'm saying? I'm ailing for Flint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ailing for Flint. I'm ailing for every brother and sister in America. You understand what I'm saying? And my mind is there with you. You see what I'm saying? My heart is there with you. You know what I mean? And, you know, whatever funds I get, whatever awareness I can raise, whoever I can point to, these atrocities that's going on, you know, that's what I can do. You see what I'm saying? That's what I can do. I can provide a platform, spread the word, raise awareness, get some people on. But, you know, keep this in the face of the people because they want it to go to sleep. They want it to go to sleep. You see what I'm saying? 2 years of Sandra Bland. 2 years since, you know, she was killed. They want you to go back to sleep. They want to see how long it's going to be news, how long it's going to be trending because, you know, based on them data analytics, they know how long to, you know, even provide coverage. You see what I'm saying? Because this is a rating game where, you know, this translates into dollars. This is big money. And they got something invested in the city of Flint, and they don't want us in that city. They don't want us in that city. You see what I'm saying? They don't want us in any of the ghettos in America anymore. Because they're tired of commuting into them cities. This is the root of gentrification, dissatisfaction. Our enemies are tired of the commutes into the city or through the city or around the city, driving an hour, hour and a half in order to get to their job one way. So that's 3 hours in a day gone. So if they gentrify the areas, if they move the brothers and sisters out of the areas, they fix those areas. They get them for dirt cheap, and then they selling them top dollar. See what I'm saying? You see the condos and all of this stuff. Now, who's buying all of this stuff? You see what I'm saying? Let's look at it in totality. Who's buying all this stuff? Who's buying all of the property? Where you at? You know, in Detroit, who's buying all the property? You see what I'm saying? So looking at that, all of that affects everything else. You see what I'm saying? Because it's all about bottom line. You know what I mean? There's a governmental force that's behind, you know, why things aren't improving, why conditions aren't improving. But on top of that, what pushes the government is big business. Big business control, all of that. How you think we got a businessman that's number 45? No experience, no political experience, none of that. Because there's moves that we make. That's just to show you the power of big business. To set in motion shit like taxation. To set in motion, you know, things like private prison. You know, the prison industrial complex. You see what I'm saying? That privatization. These are all business moves. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else other than business. Because business essentially is responsible for creating power and creating generational wealth to solidify this global economic system, this participation in the global economic system, more power in the global economic system. You see what I'm saying? So when we look at that, these things are just byproducts. These things are just byproducts. So we could look at something true like the Tuskegee experiment and say Flint is the same thing. You see what I'm saying? We can draw a correlation to see that the ghettos in America, you know, 150 years of black code, that's a whole, this that our American experience is a Tuskegee experiment to see how long we live. You understand what I'm saying? So you know they're doing these things with the organ harvesting. They're doing these things with all of these things that's going on. We got to put all of the pieces together and look at it and see. Look, we're being attacked on all fronts, from the air, from the sea, from the ground. You understand what I'm saying? It's a full-on assault, a full-on overt and covert war on our population. You understand? So when we look at it, and it gets close, when it gets close to home, we got recognition, just like you were speaking of. It gets close to home. So now you got opportunities that come in the way of venture capitalists to see how they can seize that moment in the spotlight. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we got that whole situation. We could look at Flint Water and we could look at Standing Rock. You know what the whole thing is about Standing Rock? Why they don't want that pipeline going through there? They don't want the pipeline going through that land because they're using all of that land to grow marijuana. And then they was employing people to guard their fields. You see what I'm saying? So we like when Dr. John Henry Clark said we don't have no friends, we don't have no friends. All of these other nations are our enemies that just are surrounding us. They're surrounding us. So, you know, you got people Standing Rock and all of this stuff and all of that push. Nah. Dr. Collard told us that we oppose what our enemy support and support what our enemy oppose. They ain't got no, they looking at, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of land that they can grow marijuana tax-free. And that's it. Ain't nothing about their ancestors. Ain't nothing about that sacred burial ground. We if you live in a house, if you live in an apartment, if you live in a tent, some Africans was killed and houses was built on top of them. Roadways was built on top of them. See what I'm saying? The Trail of Tears that went from, you know, the East Coast to the West Coast. Our brothers and sisters, our ancestors was killed along that way. Some of them owned by these so-called Native Americans. So our history in view, in retrospect, looking, you know, from every nation on the planet benefits from our destruction, benefits from our disunity, benefits from our demise, benefits from the organ harvesting, from these organs that they're stealing from our brothers and sisters, from our babies. You understand what I'm saying? The medical industry is killing more black people than the police. They ain't got enough bullets. Our brothers and sisters dying in hospitals right now. Dying in hospitals. Dying from the care that they receive from the medical industry. Dying from the medication that they receive from the medical industry. Dying from the vaccinations that they're receiving from the medical industry. So our disconnect, Brother True, is we've been in a space waiting to die for so long that we don't even know how to live, brother. You got a growing initiative that's going on. Growing your own food. But we'd rather get killed at the corner store. We'd rather go into the corner store and get the death off of the shelf. We'd rather use the government subsidies to go into the corner store and take the death off of the show. To unscrew the death and put it in our mouth. You understand? This is monetization off the black suffering. How long these stores been in our communities? You see what I'm saying? And how much death and devastation done happened based off of that? Just the diet alone. And how many millionaires did we make in those stores? how many children's lives and children's children, how much generational wealth was passed through them stores with bulletproof glass. Your money good enough, but you ain't good enough. Selling you bad food through bulletproof glass. Tell you after a certain hour, you can only go to the pay window to pay. And they're still in our communities. See what I'm saying? So, yes, and the homeowners is what control the governmental structures and the power in the place. That's why they made sure that they got subsidies cross-sectioning their housing. So you wouldn't be no homeowner. You wouldn't be looking to own a home. And if you was left with a home in your generation, they made sure within one or two generations that the property tax was so high that you couldn't pay it. So you would have to go. You would take the money bag and you would go. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you own the house, they maintain an eminent domain. So all of these tactics, that are there, that's happening, lead to this crisis, this identity crisis, this crisis that's happening among our people, this crisis that is leading to and fueling this disunity, our separation. That's why this is a crisis. This is why this is the Flint water crisis. It's affecting lives. And it's affecting the onlookers that are looking. So it's twofold. You know, there's a terminology. They say kill two birds with one stone. If something is happening with you, Truth, and I'm watching it happen, it's affecting me the same way it's affecting you. We link like that. We link like that, whether we acknowledge it or not. So now, if we don't even acknowledge it, it works faster because it's dealing in the realm of the unconscious. So it's going faster. It's not even going through a filter. So making a decision. You're saying, hey, you know, that's Truth's problem. That ain't my problem. So even with that cancellation, you made a decision, you made a stance, but that trauma is still affecting you, and it's affecting you in the worst way, so you can't see your brother the same way you see yourself. So if I can't see you the same way, I'm not going to want for you the same thing I want for myself, because I'm concerned with myself, I'm not concerned with ourselves. My is a possessive noun. And it denotes ownership. That means when you hear a statement, I am because we are, because if there's no me, then there is no you. And if there's no you, there's no me. So we're interconnected and interrelated in regards to our collective success and failure. It's predicated on our ownness to one another. So the real crisis here is that we are no longer connected to one another in the way that we should be. We're no longer responsible. We're no longer accountable. There's no longer a situation to where which we value each other's life enough to ensure our collective success and long-term sustainability. And I know that until they fix those pipes, there's contingencies that can be made. You know, one of my specialties is military strategy. They got water purifiers that can purify water by the gallons. You see what I'm saying? In mass scale. They got purifiers that can purify that water and have that water flowing. I did it in Rijeka. If I could do it in Rijeka, why can't I do it in Flint? You understand what I'm saying? They got a National Guard and Reserve that work for the state. But when it's time to enact force, they're going to bring the force in there. They use that force for force. They got water purifiers that they can use. They got, you know, tablets they could use They could duck directly into the water to fix the water. Contingencies in place. They do it all over the world, G. They do it all over the world, and they mobilize within 72 hours to do it. That's what a rapid deploying unit does. They're ready to go anywhere in the world within 72 hours.
Three years.
So, I mean, that's kind of where my mind is about it. You know what I mean? It can't be a problem, because if it was a problem, they could fix it. And they got them water purifying vehicles and systems just sitting in these places around America they could use. They got blivets that they could fill up. They could fill these blivets up with bad water and purify water. So they got solutions to the problem, short term, and they got some long term. So for the brothers and sisters, they can learn how to filter the water as much as they can. The filters, there's a lot of things that can be done. They short term though. The short term, the long term is replacing the pipes. You know what I'm saying? The long term is routing water from other places too. Because everybody's water ain't bad. It's a certain area that they done targeted on. Two words that I'm dealing with in my mind. One is called epidemic, and the other one is genocide. You got people that are affected and they're dying at an alarming rate. That's called an epidemic. We got people that's dying continuously over a period of time called genocide. We're dealing with both simultaneously. They just show it like isolated. They show it like it's localized in a particular area or a particular region. But we're dealing with a black death epidemic and black genocide. They mix of it. They got TV shows and albums and stuff like that coming up. You see what I'm saying? They got all this stuff going on. This collective genocide is taking place in this black academic. So I know I see we got a caller calling in from area code 810-908.
Hey, hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. This is Kafaya. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Please, Queen. What's going on?
Oh, just listening. So how deep can I go? Can I tell everything? Because this is
it's the truth power. Speak your spiel, baby. Real spiel. You said be as real as you need.
Okay, real spiel. The real spiel is that DM is always going to be bitter to the residents of Flint, to the poor, to their workers. They bailed out and did a bankruptcy, and the federal government took ownership of all of their property, including a Superfund site. Those are called Superfund sites, code word for where they dump their toxic waste and chemicals. Basically, when the federal government took over, they took ownership of these sites. And once the sites started to overflow down the river and contaminate the city, they then applied to the federal government to dump directly into the sanitary lines and got approved December 2013. Then the emergency manager came. and then we switched over. So the pipe is not the problem. It is an application process that happens 3 to 5 months is the term of that contract. So since 2013, toxic waste has been getting dumped directly into our sanitary line. The pipe, KWA and the Great Lakes Water Authority, they just front. And that's why, you know, why not fix the pipe? I mean, it doesn't mean shit, that's why. And they all know. Concerned pastors know. Melissa Mays know. Karen Weaver know. It's all the front. So at these sites where there are, there's one on Coldwater Road and Door Highway, and all down this area is where you can take wrecked cars and wrecked construction equipment, and then next to it directly is the water station. 5,000 gallons for 1 to 5 days at a time is dumped. 3 to 5 months per term since 2013. So the pipes are an illusion and a tool to keep us distracted. I mean, nobody from Snyder or his administration is truly going to get charged because the federal government is to blame. I mean, Governor Snyder he do suffer for what he's done and been a part of, but I mean, everyone in administration, and I want to say our local city council members are the true, I would say most of them are the ones who are fighting for us at a local level, but what can they really do when they don't even, most of them have either gotten hush money, I'm sorry to say it like that, or to sign on with the concerned pastors and all these people who are lying and being puppets. So the pipes are an illusion. Yes, that's a lot. It's sad to say that, but that's what it's come to. And they have incentives where you can, you know, buy vegetables and get some mats for free, you know. On our buses, the school buses and the public transportation, it says our kids are healthy. When kids are healthy, it's not true. They have high blood pressure and they're 15 years old. Hypersexual, having mutated STDs and HIV, and they're 14, 15, 16 years old. If we're going to change our communities, we can't try to just aim at our youth. We have to get their parents involved because, say, they do adopt the changes necessary to survive. If they have a family unit that is not supportive of those changes and those beliefs, then it's futile. Some of the changes that they can take is definitely the collard greens and the kale. Just as much as you can, do not overcook them. Don't cook them slave style. Do not cook them slave style. Eat them raw or steam them because there are enzymes in kale and collard that draw out lead and absorb the lead out your blood, including industrial chemicals. And there are many people here in the city who they're kind of information hubs and survival hubs, you know, people where you can get things like the Harutaki fruit. And that's a fruit that you can put in your water that purifies your water and it detoxifies your body. And if you got on a regimen of it, a lot of the mucus you don't need is going to come up, definitely going to purify your blood. Dr. Bombay, he's in Detroit. He comes to Flint. He's very accessible. There's also just random hubs around the city, and most of the time they're around the oil shop on Saginaw. You also have wherever Sharma is, or she's a raw vegan food chef. Wherever she is, go where she is, he always talks about purifying and detoxing the blood and building up your insides and what's here. That God, you know, the food that God gave you to live among the earth and be strong and not, you know, be susceptible to all this nonsense. You know, a toxic gut is a toxic mind. And our guts definitely have been toxic to sit here and allow this bullshit to happen. And not only let it happen, when we break off and try to fix our problem, you come enter and we don't try to protect it. Ain't no heads rolling. So it's our job, the people who know what to do, to go to our people. We can't wait for them to come. Some of them are ignorant. So what? We were ignorant once. Mm-hmm. So I say, get up off your ass with all that knowledge and go knock on the doors of the zip codes that they talk shit about on the news. They scare you from going in certain neighborhoods at certain times. I mean, sometimes the police officers, four or five of them, on one corner discouraging you from going anywhere. I mean, they on their job. We got to get on our job. Is there any specific questions you had or just because I could say a lot. I could talk about these kids and the way they're killing each other. I mean, every day, somebody getting shot in flame. Every day. And multiple times a day. You got drones going to people's houses in the middle of the night, and then the next day those houses are getting, you know, raided, not by local police, by military. We definitely out here getting disarmed on an everyday basis. We've had military training in our very poor neighborhoods without any notification to residents. I mean, bullets and explosives. They called it urban warfare when it was found out, but before that there was no notification. You got helicopters. You could be out in your driveway taking out the trash in the middle of the night and you see a helicopter with people jumping out that thing. So the black veterans in the city, they definitely have come together. They have hubs for food and for water and for information, definitely helping with the water bills. What is the name of Rico, the Veterans of America? There's a house here in Flint on Court Street where you can go and get water resources on how to get some free food, even get water delivered to your house. So, I could keep going with the problem, minor solution. But the federal government is definitely the one because they don't know anything. And then we cannot, you know, place any blame on the colleges here. We are their lab rats. We are Louisville, Kettering, and my community college's lab rats. So that's pretty much all I got to say. Get your gut right, and you get to thinking better and having critical thinking skills and not be so responsive and being proactive.
That's deep, man. I appreciate you.
All right, and I love y'all. Keep the word good.
Dealing with the American experiment. That's how important identity is in a crisis. You can draw strength from who you are as a collective. You know, the Vietnamese had a separate identity until the terrorists parachuting into their region. And when word went out that the terrorists went into their region, have a collective identity. Being here in the hells of come to the realization collectively that we have terrorists that are parachuting into our neighborhoods, parachuting into our homes, with the threat of killing our babies. Then we'll get that collective mindset that's necessary. So the lifeblood of a nation is its people. And, you know, we have all kind of names to call ourselves, a lot of things that we claim, a lot of things that we no longer claim to identify with. But we're being identified and marked for extermination on every level. So even if you left alive physically, the mental side had already taken place in your mind. The mental side and the physical death had already taken place in your body. Got these smart bombs that can attack your immune system. I use the terminology smart bomb because it's towards how our biological makeup is comprised. So genetically engineered and genetically modified to destroy us from the inside out. And they make it taste good, true. They make it smell good. You understand what I'm saying? They make schooling mandatory so you can go feed your psyche, and go feed your mind, go feed your brain indoctrination. When you leave this indoctrination setting, you can no longer identify yourself with your people. They got an entertainment industry where they take men and women, men, women, and children, and they change them. They go in one way, and they come out another way. There's a saying about the month of March. It says, March comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. So these industries take our best and boldest and brightest, and they go in like lions and they come out like lambs. If you want to know why young children are acting the way that they act and dressing the way that they dress, they come in like lions. They take that ferociousness and they come out like lambs on the other end. And what do you do to a lamb? What do you do to a goat? You sacrifice them. You sacrifice them. Worthy is the lamb that is slain. Now the lamb is worthy because the lamb was slain. It's goat, sacrifice. You know, you could go back to the George Bush reading the pet goat book upside down while Katrina was happening. We could look at it. And when you never take your eye off the prize, you never take your eye off your enemy, you can see your enemy's tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to display the tactic, techniques, and procedures of your enemy to the uninitiated mind, the uninformed mind, it just sounds like gibberish. It was a part in the Matrix when Neo was in there with Agent Smith the first time and he told him, you know, I got rights. You can't do this. I'm a tell. He said, who you going to tell with no voice? Who you going to tell with no tongue? He opened his mouth to speak and no words came out. So this limited view of exposure that we have to our people, they're showing through these particular filters that they have in place that our voice never reached the masses. And if they use a voice to reach the masses, it's a voice that's already compromised. It's their voice. They control the voice. They own the voice. You see what I'm saying? The reason why we know this I Have a Dream speech is because they paid $1 million for the I Have a Dream speech. So that's why that's the only speech we hear from Dr. Martin Luther King. Because they paid $1 million for that speech. They paid him to pacify the insurrection and rebellion that was building up in our ancestors and make it a nonviolent protest march. That's why we look at it through our lens and psyche and say that they was on some nonviolence. No, they was tearing shit up and whooping crackers ass all the way to D.C. until they met up with King. So by the time they met up with King and he joined the march, he turned the march to it being peaceful. And the name of the speech is really called the cashing of the check speech. He cashed a check in front of the world.
Yeah.
He went to the nation's capital to say, we want you to make good on this check. You see what I'm saying? So the psyche that gets played around in regards to our people, we got hundreds of years on this continent of disunity being bred amongst us. And whether we look at this letter that was purportedly reported or wrote or sent by Willie Lynch, whether the authenticity happens or not, can we find and look to and make a reference point of the behaviors? Hell yeah, we can. Hell yeah. Can we look at indifference and say, okay, we're being capitalized upon based upon indifference, age, and gender. You understand what I'm saying? Light versus dark, young versus skinny versus fat, whatever. You see what I'm saying? This indifference. And us no longer being tapped into the universal nature and law, we are at a disadvantage with one another. So we can look at indifference and create spaces where which this indifference is celebrated. So the law of correspondence says that because truth exists and it's a construct, there has to be a liar. You see what I'm saying? Because there is old, there has to be a young. So the indifference is a balance in how we exist. So there is no indifference. It's, we understand that there is a balance that has to be maintained. And what's happening now is they're shifting our thoughts. They're shifting our mind, our attention, our focus towards a focal point of celebrating individuality. So you can't function as a collective of individuals. The only way you can get a collective of individuals together, work together towards a goal, is through fear. Through fear. The militaries, the corporate structure, and the policing agents all operate through fear. They got a term for that fear. It's called subordination. So what they found out through this careful, calculated study is that if you have hierarchy set up, you're given an order within that hierarchy, you operate based off of that state and place and functionality without question. And the use of color to show authority. And that color is white. So you go see a doctor, you go see a dentist, they got on white. You see what I'm saying? They got on white. You look at the police force, the higher ups, they got on white shirts. But then the funny part is when you deal with law and justice, right? The judge got on black robe. Something completely different. You see what I'm saying? But the hierarchical system of the commands, of the orders that are being carried out, they're given by somebody in a white coat or a white shirt. And then subordinates don't want to be insubordinate, so they carry out the orders. So they say, hey, I was following orders. You know, they went back, you know, to the Nazis and studied the psychology of the Nazi soldiers. Everybody just said they was following orders. And then they did a Milgram experiment. And, you know, they set people up to think that they were torturing and killing people or administering a electric shock to them that could kill them. But they were doing it because somebody in a white jacket or a lab coat told them to. So that is synonymous in the psyche of the people of authority. So when we start talking about white supremacy, when we start talking about the white power structure, it operates through that psyche. It operates through that psyche because they are in a position of dominance here in America. And our mind not being in our collective psyche, dealing in the state of individuality, we become subservient to that. And we know white is not a color. See what I'm saying? It's devoid of color. But that psyche...
My bad, I didn't mean to cut you off, bro. My bad. But
are you good?
Just chiming in on that point as far as taking orders and as you say, the psyche of being, you know, less than or unable to do anything or docile or peaceful, you know what I'm saying, in the manner and jumping back on to the Flint, is that is a effect of the lead poisoning. You know what I'm saying? It makes you docile, yet it makes you very irritable at the same time. So who's going to irritate you? The people around you. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be thinking about the mayor, the governor, the people that's behind this atrocity. You're going to be irritated around the people that's right by you. You know what I'm saying? So that causes violence to take place within communities where violence is already high. We've already known plenty of studies and examples of experiments where they put lead or put certain chemicals in the food and the water in certain areas, and the violence has increased dramatically in a short period of time. So you got to think Flint has been one of the most violent cities for a long time. So not just the last 2-3 years, the last 10-15 years, you know what I'm saying, since they declared martial law in Flint back in, what, 05, 06, I believe it was. I could be mistaken on that year. It might be a little later than that. So you got to understand, we don't even know how long this has been going on. They say 2013, you know what I'm saying? They say 2014, you know, but like I said, the person... That was the first case of somebody dying from Legion's disease that was reported in 2014. How many cases were going through the hospital that they weren't reporting, that they knew were Legion's disease, that they died misdiagnosed on purpose, you know what I mean, to cover up what they were doing? Because like we all know, this is not by accident. This is not anything that didn't happen on purpose, you know what I mean? And that's the point that I want to keep pushing to the people that, you know what I mean, we got to stop acting like this shit that's happening is a mistake. The position and the so-called white supremacy, you know what I'm saying, because really they not supreme at anything because they don't have any original idea. Everything that they do, everything that they build comes from us. You know what I mean? Henry Ford did not design the car. McCoy designed the car. You see what I'm saying? Benjamin Banner designed the light bulb, and you know what I mean? George Washington Carver and all these scientists and these great ones are the Carter G. Woodson. They were the inventors. They were the ones doing these things, and their patents and all those things were getting stole. These people have built nothing. These people don't have a pyramid. These people don't have a Great Wall of China. Any monument that's going to be across the globe is going to be connected to the people out that are not European. You know what I mean? They didn't invent the gun. The Chinese showed them how to make the gun. You feel what I'm saying? So we got to remember these things and understand that they are only supreme as survival tactics, and we don't recognize those survival tactics and counteract them by doing exactly what they do, which is have a unified front despite any indifferences between us as a race or as a culture personally. Their culture is war. Their culture is take. Their culture is death. Their culture is disease. Their culture is homosexuality. Their culture is bestiality. This is their culture, and they push their culture all over the world, not just here in America. They have a stronghold all over the world. Africa, all these so-called supposed to be independent countries, they are very few and far between that the United States of America, England, Great Britain, and those countries do not have an influence and do not have a hold on. Ooh, this is not separate. It is, they still pay homage to the queen. She still owns this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? That's what people need to recognize. These acts are on purpose. They are for their survival. They are poisoning us, pushing us out because they need these cities to function as a people. They need these cities back because the wilderness is fighting against them. Nature is fighting against them. The sun is killing them. All types of things are going on. You know what I mean? They need to get in these cities and in this shelter away from the sun so they can go in and they don't got to be out here with nature. You feel what I'm saying? They are doing this. This is a purposeful attack. They are attacking Detroit with gentrification in another manner, forcing people out, pushing people out of downtown Detroit and Midtown, making their own communities, pushing people. We 85% black city. We got a white mayor, and you got white preachers and pastors advocating for this guy, advocating for him when our neighborhoods look like shit. Then all of a sudden, when it's election time, 16 rec centers get open. Oh, okay. We can just all of a sudden, all this money we got, we can open up a rec center now when it's election time and you're trying to look good. And we fall for the banana in the tailpipe every time because we do not have a united front. We do not have a Black Liberation Army. We do not have Republic of New Africa. We do not have Black guerrilla family in the prison system. You know what I'm saying? We've been whitewashed all the way through. Even our resistance has been whitewashed. You feel what I'm saying? Even our revolutionaries have been whitewashed. You feel what I'm saying? We live by and go by the standard that they say we have to be a revolutionary and what's good and what we let them judge. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. They're going to get you if you do that. They gonna kill you, or they gonna do this or this and that. They gonna attack you and this and that. People are terrified. We let them whitewash our fight back. You feel what I'm saying? The way the standard that we set for fighting back. Don't have no more deacons of dissent. We got black pastors advocating for a white mayor in the city that's downtown is being gentrified at is over with. It's basically all every black business from downtown then has been pushed out. Unless you got friends in the mayor's office. You feel what I'm saying? They phasing you out little by little. They make it hard for you. They make it easy for those white businesses to be successful. You feel what I'm saying? It's obviously, then what's happening is obvious. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put it together that they are going in the final phase of what they have been planning. This is a 50-year plan that's happening in Detroit and Flint. You feel what I'm saying? These are plans that have been developing for the last 50, 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? These are not overnight things. After the Great White Flight, they started intricating the plan. They knew how long it was going to take to get the city back. They knew how long it was going to take to get people, white people, comfortable coming back in the city. They knew exactly how long. They knew this. You know what I'm saying? But we sitting around and we acting like this is just some Johnny come lately deal, like this hasn't been happening forever, like they didn't use us for alligator bait. So we shocked that they would shoot us and that the police would kill us. Or we shocked that they kill a little black girl, you know what I'm saying? And nobody do nothing. You know what I'm saying? No outrage, no mass riots, no nothing. A baby. They can kill our babies. They can poison a whole city of babies. Fuck up a whole generation of people and no nothing. We ain't did nothing. We ain't stood up to a rock at a window, nothing. You feel what I'm saying? I'm including in this nothing. I'm including in the people who have not done nothing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not down in nobody, not saying, sending nobody out on a mission that I wouldn't go on myself. You feel what I'm saying? I'm just saying, where is the guts of? Where is the fire? Where is the spirit? Where has our fight gone? You feel what I'm saying? Where has the spirit to do something about problems gone? And I'm not saying it's all the way gone. I'm just saying overall, as a mass, there used to be more. Even the regular people who weren't revolutionaries understood, or who weren't abolitionists back in the slavery times, they understood that they had their part still. Even if they weren't directly involved, they knew, you know what I'm saying, to leave a basket for the food a couple feet, yards up the road, a couple hundred feet up the road, or off in the bushes for the people that was running from slavery. You feel what I'm saying? They knew to leave guns and ammunition certain places. You know what I mean? They understood this. We don't understand that everybody has their role. You don't have to be on the front line. Nobody has to know that you care and love and will do anything for your people. You don't have to be known for anything. You can live your life normal, but long as when it comes that time to step up and play our part, that we do play our part. You feel what I'm saying? Some people are going to be the soldiers on the front line. Some people are going to have to make the weapons at home. Some people are going to have to cook the food for the people, for the children. Some people are going to have to write the books. Some people are going to take so we can document this thing. Everything in our history has been greatly documented. We are a greatly documented people, and we have started to lose that. We just let things happen, and we're forgetting about it. It's barely talked about. It's barely mentioned. You know what I'm saying? Great atrocities against our people, great tragedies against our people don't be talked about or not put in graphic detail about what happened to not let us forget and to ignite that fire. You see what I'm saying? To ignite that fire. You feel me? You see in Baltimore, Freddie Gray ignited that fire. That city, them people, them boys bucking back. They know. St. Louis, they bucking back. You know what I'm saying? We have to get like that as a collective, not on some violent kamikaze type of thing, but as something that's going to be effective, as forming our own community, you know what I'm saying, using their system to work against them. If you want to stay within the system and work within the system, you can use it to work against them. You can buy blocks in Detroit for dirt cheap. You can come buy a block for $10,000, $15,000, five houses. It needs a little fixing up, tender love and care. You got five houses. Now that's five houses that black people can come live on. Now they got a community. Now you might get you a person that know how to grow food, get you a person that's an electrician, get you a person that's a plumber. You feel what I'm saying? Get you a person that's a carpenter. Get you a person that's a mechanic. Now you got you a small community. Now you bubbling. You feel what I'm saying? Now y'all take care of each other. Any electrician work, you go to the electrician in your community. Any mechanic work, you go into the mechanic. The food you need is going to be from the person that's growing the food, the agriculturist. You see what I'm saying? And you collect and you little by little show each other how to do this on your own at the same time, so you can go on and you teaching the babies all of this. You become multifaceted without even trying to, without having to go to school and study, because you got it right there in your community. The school is right there in your front yard. The school is right there in your backyard. You feel what I'm saying? The school is the experience that you live and go have a connection to the DNA, you got a connection to the spirit of the ancestors that was murdered, that was poured tarred and feathered, that was stripped with horses and spread apart, pregnant babies, women cut open, babies stripped off their stomach, killed. You have a connection to that. And we got to be graphic, and we can't just forget that. You see what I'm saying? You got to remember, this is why we was fighting back. This is why they fought back with such force and such tenacity. No matter, even if we die, even if we don't make it through, we got to fight because of the tribe, because this is it. This is sick. What we dealing with is a sick beast. You feel what I'm saying? The sick and the men, just think about the sick stuff that these people do. You feel what I mean? These people are sick. They have no soul. They don't have no conscience. Everything goes with them. You feel what I'm saying? They vouch and they don't care about anything. It's, oh, well, that's okay. It's no problem to like little boys. You know what I'm saying? If you're a grown man, that's not anything. That's natural. That's a condition. You know what I'm saying? No, that's sickness. Oh, it's okay to rape a little girl. You know what I mean? If a guy likes little girls and he likes to have sex with little girls, it's not okay. You feel what I'm saying? It's not okay. And we got to understand, this is the kind of people that you're dealing with on a daily basis. And you have to have that be in your mind and be aware of that at all times, 24/7, 365. Yes, you can go have fun. Yes, you can party. Yes, you can enjoy your life. But at the same time, you got to understand that you have a fight to the day that your spirit in this physical form leaves. You have a fight to be had. It is your duty to your ancestors. Yes, you do owe your ancestors the least amount you could do is be for your people. You feel what I'm saying? That's helping in the fight. Loving your people and understanding. You know, rooting for your people even when they're wrong. Against showing face against the enemy, because that's what they do. They show face. They killers, they murderers, all that shit is glorified. They stand behind. They stand behind the George Zimmermans. They stand behind all these people, the Christopher Columbuses. They stand behind the John Waynes killing the Indians, the Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie, the Terminator killing the skeleton. You feel what I'm saying? They stand behind all this stuff. You know, and I use movie stars as an example just to let you know. These are celebrated. They killers celebrated. Ours are ridiculed and made to be savages and made to be non-human, non-having a conscience, you know what I'm saying, people, savage beasts. But they are the savage beasts, you know what I'm saying? They created this condition, and they sit back and they watch it like a movie. This is their movie. They created this ghetto. They created this hood. They created this atmosphere in America, in Africa, all those wars and genocide, people being cannibals and all that. That's their culture. They've incorporated their culture all around the world, and they just sitting back, wow, watching the movie. Man, these motherfuckers crazy. They really just doing whatever we say, make them do. You know what I'm saying? You got any rebellion, any people that show rebellion, they go on and wipe them out. But you got to be willing to get wiped out. You got to make them make a decision. They can't kill us all. You feel what I'm saying? They can't kill us all. You know what I mean? Like Fred Hampton said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you can't kill the revolution, because it's a natural, innate ability and spirit and right that everybody got. It's self-preservation. You're going to survive and try to make sure that you see the next breath. You feel what I'm saying? So self-preservation means that we got to stand up when things like Flint happen. You know what I mean? We got to help our people. It don't mean that we got to go grab a gun and kill nobody. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, okay, we see this atrocity. We going to help our people